Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Double Seamers Podcast. My name is Simo. Today I'm joined by Adam. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, everybody.
And we're also joined by Billy. Say hello, Billy.
Hello, everyone. How are we both doing?
How are we all doing?
Very well.
But like I said before, I'm absolutely shattered, so it's been a long day.
And not only that, we were just talking about before we started recording this, how it's been quite a while since we've all done this sort of Screamer setup podcast, especially a preview. We used to do a preview show all the time. Longer term listeners will know that as well, but we kind of dipped off it a wee bit in favour of other shows. But we're back because we've been suffering the international football.
Say that again.
And you know, Arsene's on the warpath to get more of it. So, well, positive folks, we have the Premier League coming back, returning to us. We have some big news as well. There's been a takeover at Newcastle that happened in relatively a short term from when it hit the mainstream news. We seem to hit over the past sort of like since the Premier League rejected the Newcastle takeover. It's been, feels like every sort of 2 weeks or so it pops back up, but this one popped back up and it was real, and the takeover has gone through with the agreement that with the Premier League that the owners of Newcastle United are not the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia will not have any influence over Newcastle United, which is just ludicrous. I think it was just more to do with the TV deal in Saudi Arabia being a lot of the Saudi Arabian Premier League was being streamed rather than actually bought. I believe there's been those TV rights have been resolved, which was something
to do with BN Sport, because I think they're like the main broadcaster over there.
Yeah,
it seemed that
as soon as that deal got over the line, this happened relatively quickly, making the owners of Newcastle apparently the richest owners in the world, or the consortium that owns Newcastle, the richest owners.
Quite comfortably as well.
Yeah, quite comfortably. not by like a few billion, 10 times the wealth of so-called Man City. But at the end of the day, it's very much, you know, Saudi Arabian owned. You know, I don't think Man City are necessarily limited to the Man City owners in Sheikh Mansour. I don't think he's necessarily limited to that 24 billion. But yeah, that is the way it goes. A question that I wanted to line up for you boys is one I heard on TalkSport the other night when I was driving. And that is, how many years do you think it will be before Newcastle win the Premier League? And bearing in mind it took Man City 4 years from their Saudi Arabian takeover to win the Premier League. And we can assume with a lot of the messages that are, you know, being sent out from Newcastle are very similar to the takeover of Man City. So we can assume that they will spend aggressively and recruit aggressively as Man City did, which is great because we're going to see some of those mad signings that we've never seen before. Now, it's relatively normal for a top player to play for Man City, but there was a time, new viewers of football won't remember this, but there was a time where when a top player went to Man City, you know, your Rabinhos, your Toures and stuff like that, it was actually a bit ludicrous to see them in a Man City set. I mean, we'll be going through a period of time where it is ludicrous to see, you know, your Coutinho's. I think Coutinho's a player destined for Newcastle and Newcastle shots, but it will become a relatively normal thing in the years to come. I'm going to come at you first, Billy. Go on, prediction. 4 years it took Man City. How long do you think it will take this Newcastle side before they win the Premier League?
It's a really tough question to answer, to be honest with you, because when City were taken over, there wasn't as many financial fair play rules as there are now. I know it's been slightly lifted a little bit, but you still have to play within the rules. And that could damage Newcastle as in terms of like winning the league instantly kind of thing, like it kind of a similar kind of thing to happen with Man City. It's I don't know, I think it'll be about five or six years. I think it'll be definitely be longer, but I think it's not going to, I don't think you're going to see as many players just hop over to Newcastle like a lot of their fans and a lot of the media are kind of predicting. I think these players will want to play Champions League football. I think the players like you named Coutinho, I know Van der Beek's name's been going round, circling round a lot. I think they're the kind of players that you'll see go to Newcastle now where they're not really being favoured at their parent clubs.
I think there's a lot of top players out there that couldn't give a fuck if they're playing Champions League football as long as their wages are put in at the end of the month.
Potentially, yeah, potentially. Potentially, and I think you'll really start to see the ones who really care about playing football and the ones who just want the paycheck at the
right.
end of the day.
So, Billy, you're saying, what did you say, between 6 and 7 years?
That's what I think.
Right. I'm going to give my opinion before I come to you, Adam. I personally think, right, we're going to see probably 5 years is my estimate. And that's just because I think there's a lot of... I think the Premier League is the most competitive it's been in a long term, in a good way. I'm not saying a lot of teams have entered, you know, latter stages and they have older groups of older players, etc. I think it's at its most competitive and it's been in probably the last 10 or 15 years. I think the Premier League as a brand is in a really good spot, and the clubs within that brand, even the ones outside the so-called top six, are performing particularly well and in good spots to progress as well. So I think it might not be as easy. In terms of financial fair play, I think Newcastle will just disregard it as Man City did, and the owners and operators of Man City are very much in the same vein as the consortium that owns Newcastle, and they had complete disregard for financial fair play, and they actually got around the ban anyway. And if I think the idea that if Newcastle get banned from the Champions League for 2 years and they can spend whatever they want, I think they would take that. And I think there will be I think the recruitment will be as aggressive, if not more aggressive in the current market as Man City's was when Sheikh Mansour took over. Adam, coming to you. I think 5. Billy thinks 6 and 7. Give us your thoughts.
I'm in a similar boat. I think it will probably about 7. I think I'm leaning towards. I think it'll be certainly harder than it was for Manchester City. But I think probably more for the fact that, look, the league hasn't been this competitive in terms of fighting for top spots in a long time, you know. And I know Newcastle are far richer now than the likes of Chelsea or Manchester City. But, you know, these two clubs are still really, really big spending powers in this league. And I don't think you can really underestimate, you know, how much they can gain at the top of the table while Newcastle are trying to make up that ground. I think one thing that actually does play into Newcastle's favour, to be fair though, and I'm quite intrigued to see how many people have sort of thought of this and gone down this avenue, is that the lack of spending that Mike Ashley has done over his time as Newcastle boss, you literally look at the last 3-4 years in a row now, they've been in profit. That actually helps them when it comes to financial fair play. You know, they can actually now go and spend quite a lot of money and it be justified because of the profit that they've made over the last few years. So I think that definitely helps them climb the ladder over the next few years. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them making European spots, you know, even if it is a Europa Conference League or the Europa League in the next few years. But league title, I think is obviously a bit more of a push. I think we're looking probably more at about 7.
I would predict 2 years to a European campaign, if not next season, because things move fast in football. And I'm going to say, Champions League spots in the third and fourth year, and I'm going to say title win in the fifth year. And I get the league is much more competitive than it was when Man City take over. I think, honestly, that's the state the league is in is really well done. I don't know if Newcastle's new spending power disrupts anyone else in the league necessarily, because we're now living in an era where that kind of spending is normal. When Man City took over, there was still a lot of spending, but the sums of, you know, 100 million, upwards of 100 million, weren't really as common as they are nowadays. It's not really that uncommon for a club to buy a player with you know, over 100 million pounds with the add-ons, okay? And I think it will be... You might see them adopt a similar strategy to PSG, where it's about, you know, players coming to the end of contracts. Newcastle kind of course, not contacting a player pre-contract, because that would be completely illegal. And PSG would never do that. They would never approach a player before a contract was agreed. But you could see maybe Newcastle doing something in the same vein of that, and just saying to a lot of players, maybe hold out, because we can pay big wages. And I think you'll see players at Newcastle on the wages likewards of your sort of your PSGs, rather than seeing ludicrous. I think you will see ludicrous transfer fees. I think you might see ludicrous wages as more of a strategy, because obviously you can't just spend. You need to win the league. You need players all over the park, upwards of the value, transfer value of, you would say, sort of your 60, 70 million. And then you need a couple of players in there of the vein of, you know, your 100 million plus valued players, don't you? When you look at the past teams, one of the past sort of like 4 or 5 years, you're looking at those players, some of them, and they to win the Premier League, you need players that are sort of best in class in positions as well. You know, you need your sort of best centre-back in the world, best goalkeeper in the world, you know, best sort of goal scorer in Europe, or among the sort of top five-ish. Okay, and that's the kind of standards it gets to. You have to win this league. And I reckon, you know, it's going to be sort of like big wages and for the first few years, and it'll just be every year or so, I think they'll be adding top-class players just into certain positions until they sort of build that. You know, it took Jurgen Klopp around sort of 4 or 5 years to really build Liverpool into like such a powerhouse in every single position in the pitch. And I'm predicting a similar forecast for Newcastle. A lot of the managers being lined up are big ones, but I don't think the Contes and, you know, the top level managers are the managers to come in Newcastle right now. I think they need a stabilising manager for the next sort of 18-month period. I think, you know, a Frank Lampard or an Eddie Howe would be a great option, or even a Steven Gerrard. I don't know, a lot of people up in Scotland, as I am, would be sad to see him leave Rangers.
I've got to be honest. I think Frank Lampard would be a disaster.
You think he'd be a disaster?
I think. I mean, I look.
Is that because he spent big at Chelsea and didn't quite get his just rewards?
Well, I think, just going, like, looking off what he's done, even at Derby, he didn't particularly impress me at Derby. Like, he took them from sixth to sixth, if we're being realistic.
There was a lot of
didn't really do much managers, with that team.
Accordingly, managers behind the scenes that said, you know, the Derby side that he manages, that managed in the Championship, should have won it easily.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the caliber of the players in the Derby side that he managed, and he didn't quite get over the line in the playoffs.
The thing is, they did have the likes of Mason Mount and Fikayo Tomori, but they were also very, very young at the time. I think if you compared the side that Villa had in that playoff final to the one that Derby had, I think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Villa fan, I think a lot of people would have preferred the Villa side over the Derby side. So I don't know. I think what you're saying, Adam, about Frank Lampard, I do somewhat agree. You've seen, like Simo said, you've seen him spend big at Chelsea, and it hasn't really worked out the way he wanted it to. Whether you put that down to him not being given too much of a chance, maybe in that second year you could have seen the likes of Werner like really kick on and maybe start scoring a lot more. Lukaku's now come in, unfortunately, for Werner. It's certainly going to be an interesting one in terms of manager, and I really don't know who they should go for. I don't know what it's a big question mark, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you don't bring in the Conte for the relegation battle, you know. Like, I mean, surely the goal of this season is just don't get relegated, innit?
Let Steve Bruce keep them from relegation.
Give him the money. Give Steve Bruce £200 million to spend in January and give him the fucking money.
Oh, can you imagine? Alex Bruce.
Oh, it'd be ludicrous. Right, the reason I said Frank Lampard, right, is because although he didn't really get the best out of that Chelsea side, he was a big part of the recruitment team that built it. And obviously, you built that side, and everybody could see how good a side it was, and they just needed the manager to get them over the line. Boom, you enter a top-tier manager, Champions League trophy in the cabinet right away. You know, and you get them there, you do a similar thing. You get, if I was a sporting director or a director of football, which they should recruit, because they don't have one right now at Newcastle. That was exactly what if I looked at his CV and said, right, he built that Chelsea side, I would get him in, build me that. And I promise you, I'll give you a big payday when I sack you, because obviously you're not good enough to get it over the line. I think I would bring in my Conte, you know what I mean?
I think the only thing I'd say to that is with the Chelsea team, you know, Chelsea still have or had at the time an amazing pulling power. You know, they were able to still sign all of these, you know, these top players. Frank Lampard coming into Newcastle, if he came in to try and just take them onto that next step for then a Conte to come and take over, how good a team can Frank Lampard realistically build with the pulling power of Newcastle right now is the question.
And another thing,
all the players and their agents must be on the same page and be like, okay, that's we've seen what happened with City, we've seen what happened with PSG, we've seen what happened with these sort of like country level takeovers. They must know what's coming. Big wages. Well,
I'm going to make a bold claim. Sorry, in just saying, I think at some point within the next 3 years, we will see Harry Kane at Newcastle. I'm telling you. He's not going to City now. He's not getting his City move. Where else is he going to go?
Newcastle,
he's going to be playing 93. In January.
Newcastle
under Lucas Jarvis.
He's going to be playing 93 to win something after leaving Spurs.
Oh, 16 minutes in, that's where Jed needs to clip that.
I'm telling you. Early prediction for it.
Early prediction.
Talking of Harry Kane, though, a quick question for you both. In the short term, what kind of players do you think that we could see at Newcastle? Do you think Harry Kane, I mean, people are throwing around your Haalands, your Mbappes. That's very unrealistic.
I think that's 3-4 years down the line. I reckon the players at the top clubs in Europe that aren't playing much are the players you will see move to Newcastle. Maybe see, you know, players that are on the outskirts and don't necessarily would see themselves as deserving of being in that outskirt. And I think you might see the best of the rest. You know, you could actually see a Wilfried Zaha get a move because it's the only move that could make sense. It's the only club in the world with the spending power to get Wilfried Zaha that don't already have a player of similar ability in that position. By the way, can we just acknowledge, boys, that this isn't a Prem preview. This is just us talking Newcastle. I mean, we just acknowledge. 17 minutes in, we're not covering the games of the week. On you go, Billy boy.
I was just going to say, I wonder if you'll see Wilfried Zaha still play angry with £500,000 a week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely will. I'd argue he would be even more angry. Go on, Adam. Some signing predictions for Newcastle.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, I think the first one. Well, maybe not the first one, but the first sort of big one will probably be Coutinho.
Yeah, must be. It must be. Who else would be that sort of like Rubinho sort of level? Sort of. Just, oh my god. This is
It does very much seem like that Rubinho-esque signing. I think he's destined for that club.
It's written in the stars. To be fair,
maybe another lad from Barca. You could be looking at Ousmane Dembele potentially as well. Somebody who's, you know, another one whose career hasn't quite gone to plan, especially in recent years. And but you know, we he's still got on paper, he's a very good footballer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're the types of players that Newcastle will be looking for, you know, because again, like you're looking at Coutinho, on paper, he's probably still got the ability of a world-class player. He just hasn't been able to show it. There's no real interest from any other big clubs.
Yeah.
Perfect for Newcastle.
I mean, he's getting no one ahead of him, is he? You know, I mean, if he goes there, I mean, he could be one of the, I think maybe 2 months, not 2 months, 2 year sort of time frame for Coutinho to enter. You know, he's still got that big, huge contract. It doesn't go on forever. It will end eventually, and he'll be like, oh, God. And no club, no top club in Europe in the right mind is going to give him another £350,000 a week or whatever he's on. So, yeah, Newcastle could, well, I think, is written in the stars. I'll give you another one, Adam. Jorginho Wijnaldum.
Well, he has just come out and say he's unhappy at PSG, hasn't he?
Very convenient, my friend.
Would be,
Been at Newcastle before.
Looking at the paycheck. Yeah,
it
would be a nice return for him.
Do you remember when Gino Wijnaldum scored 4 goals in a match for Newcastle?
I do, yeah.
Didn't we? I swear we signed him, not literally, I couldn't tell you who it was.
I think it was the marquee game that took Gino Wijnaldum to that sort of next level and made him targets for a lot of clubs around Newcastle. But you know what? It's quite romantic, isn't it? He returns to Newcastle when they need him most, you know? God, Billy, give us some ludicrous signings for Newcastle. Jack Grealish when he enters his twilight. 34-year-old Jack Grealish entered Newcastle.
Now that'd be something. do you think, talking of Barcelona, Pedro, do you reckon in 5-6 years' time, we could... Whether the release clause would be the same, but do you reckon we could actually see the first £1 billion transfer?
Yeah. So for those of the listeners that don't know, Pedri has just signed a 5-year deal, I believe, at Barcelona for quite a wee bit of money, with a release clause of £1 billion. But Barca are the club that kind of put these ludicrous release clauses in players' contract. I think there's a few other players. I think Messi had a £1 billion one as well, or a £700 million one, or whatever it was. But yeah. You think they are the richest club on the planet on paper, you would say. So, you know, if anybody was going to activate that, and it will happen one day, you know, when we've seen the sort of like, who was the first £100 million player to go? Who was it? Was it Neymar?
Neymar went for just the first 200.
Yeah, it was the first 200, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up.
It could have been Neymar. I don't know if anyone hit 100 before Neymar went for 200.
I think Paul Pogba went for like, but that was eight.
I think that was like 90.
I think it was ages after it, yeah. Or was it like 95?
Yeah, and Mbappe obviously went after, but he was, I think he was like 160 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, it's not working.
Oh,
it's not coming up.
We'll come back to you, folks.
I think it may have been Neymar. I'm not sure if anyone broke 100 before Neymar went for 200.
I guess we'll never.
Because I know, like, Wenger was talking. It wasn't even that long ago, was it? Where Wenger was speaking about the £200 million player.
It very much
escalated. And that at the time was ludicrous. Like,
it was like when we signed.
You couldn't imagine it.
Signed Arsenal for the.
I could tell you the first £100 player.
That is no use to me. That is no
Willie
use to
Groves
me. Either.
From West Brom to Aston Villa.
I didn't want to know. Right, okay. Right, another one for these boys, right?
Jed can do
How many managers will we see at Newcastle in the next 5 years as they transition into being an established sort of Premier League powerhouse? And is there any managers in particular you can think of that are going to make their way through Newcastle? And Conte seems to be the big one right now because he's out of work, but I reckon he's waiting out for the Man United job. In my opinion, he's waiting for Holly to get sacked, if he ever does.
Waiting a long time.
You know. Any predictions in the managers we might see go through on Newcastle in the next few years?
I don't think that Newcastle are going to have as many managers as Watford in the next 5 years.
I don't think any club's going to have as many managers as Watford in the next 5 years.
that's all I'm saying. Names I can't give you because football's a funny old place, isn't it?
Well, you could at least try, Billy. I'll come at you, Adam.
Jurgen Klopp.
Oh, dear.
Jurgen
Klopp. Don't be saying that.
Do you know what? I think we could potentially see somebody, maybe not necessarily Brendan Rodgers, but someone of that ilk come in. You know, like a project manager.
Yeah.
Graham Potter.
Someone like Graham mm-hmm. Potter, Brendan Rodgers, Mauricio Pochettino, that sort of style manager.
If Eddie Howe's going to return to management, right, I predicted that he might get the Crystal Palace job. And I think he was maybe in the running for it. Or maybe Crystal Palace must have made that phone call at some point before getting Vieira in. Or maybe Vieira was the first choice. I really don't know. But, you know, he's not going to get a better crack than this Newcastle side, is he, Eddie Howe? I know he wants to manage in the South, and Celtic were heavily approaching Eddie Howe, but I could see why he didn't go there. I mean, who wants to go and, you know, get petrol bombs for a fucking letterbox in the middle of the night, you know? all for the pleasure of living in Glasgow. he's not going to get a better job than that, surely. Surely he must be making a phone call to his agent, you know, is there any sort of interest? And because he would keep that Newcastle side up. A couple of signings in January, Eddie Howe would keep that Newcastle side up, I think.
I think he'd keep them up. I think it's just probably more about, I think the options for Newcastle go beyond Eddie Howe, to be honest.
Yeah, I do as well, to be honest with you. But it's so hard to come up with manager names, isn't it? Because all the jobs are currently taken. They're all comfortably
we do kind of live in a time with the amount of, you know, top clubs and top managers isn't massively aligned at the minute, you know. That's why you've got like sort of strange appointments, like, you know, Arteta's in charge of, you know, Arsenal. We had Lampard at Chelsea, these sort of like risk appointments, you know.
I've just thought of one actually.
Solskjaer at Man United as well. Jose Mourinho. He would take it. He'd take it in a fucking heartbeat.
He would, wouldn't he?
And he'd spend all the fucking money in the world. He'd win everything, wouldn't he? He'd win fucking everything. And it would all be very, very, very miserable. Very, very miserable defensive football.
Not too dissimilar to what they've got now, then.
I think a Mancini's been thrown around into that as well.
That'd be interesting.
I tell you who'd be top of my list.
I do like Mancini.
I tell you who'd be top of my list. David Moyes. David Moyes, give him the fucking money, you know? Well, he's doing a great job at West Ham. I think the size
he's doing
built
a fantastic
there,
job at West Ham.
On the budget he's built it on is extremely impressive, and the way he's got them playing, it's not like, you know, people think of these sort of older British managers and they think of, you know, sort of like, you know, your 4-4-2 and sort of, you know, or sometimes five at the back as these days. But he's not that at all. It's very free flowing, brave, counter attack when it's necessary. You know, you get your fast sort of really fast, exciting players, you know, your Antonio's and Jared Bowen's, but you also got exciting players like Declan Rice and Ben Rama and Thomas Suchek in the midfield. And, you know, he built that side. And to go from where he's taken West Ham, from where the point he took them over to the point he's got them at just now, I think is a massive check on his CV and the stuff he did with Everton. So if you look at his record of his sort of best of the rest in the Premier League, he always seems to take them to that next sort of level. And West Ham and Everton are those clubs that are, you know, sort of big enough to fall into that category of best of the rest. And Newcastle, if they want to sort of, you need to be there before you're in amongst the sort of Champions League places. And, you know, I don't know how much it would take for them to pry David Moyes away, but what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's going to take a lot to get him out of West Ham at the minute, to be honest with you. You know, European football, they've got a fantastic squad, a fantastic group of players as well, who all seem to get on
maybe
really well
with
each other, potentially. You know, Declan Rice maybe looking for
Antonio.
Maybe looking for a new, Antonio as well. But I don't know if he would leave what he's got at West Ham and what he's built at West Ham at this moment in time anyway. It really is a difficult question to answer. But another one that I've just thought of as well, Thomas Frank.
Thomas Frank would be an exciting appointment. I don't know if he would leave Brentford. It's all a bit romantic there for Thomas Frank, isn't it? It's their first season in the top flight. And I'd imagine they'd want to appoint sooner rather than later. Brucey, he took training yesterday, I think. I think they're having a meeting, you know, either today or tomorrow.
Well,
Yeah,
so he's set to take the press conferences tomorrow.
And that'll probably be him sort of like parting.
This is a 1,000th game in management as well for this one coming up. So you'd like to think that he's going to get this one, get his 1,000th game in management and...
Fuck off.
And, in part ways.
You know who'll lose it. Spurs.
Well, right. I mean, Spurs, they might not lose it.
Less of that. They'll get absolutely battered. Thank you very much.
Rightio. Another question, right? Just to, and we'll probably finish up after this one, boys. Is right of the Manchester City era, there was few players that survived from the squad that took over to the sort of the Premier League winning side, or even beyond that. A player that came in relatively early in the takeover, I think, was Vincent Kompany. I mean, he might have been there beforehand, and he kind of took his game to the next level. Is there any players in this Newcastle side that you can see excelling among a team of top players and that nailed down a start? One, I'm going to put one out there, and that would be Joe Willock, as a player that I've highlighted for a long time. It could maybe set a marker down as being in a top midfield. But I'll come to you, Adam. You have any sort of players in mind in that squad that you think can carry on?
I think there is literally only two, and the one for me is Alan Saint-Maximin. I don't see anybody beyond those two. Joe Willock, look, we spoke about him. Well, I've certainly spoke about him a lot. He's a young player that I think Arsenal could have done with, to be honest. I think he's got a really high ceiling, some real good potential, and look, Saint-Maximin, he looks like he could beat anybody on his day. Some of the solo goals he scores for Newcastle are breathtaking, you know, and he's currently doing that in a squad that is garbage, let's be honest. It's garbage. So I think you surround somebody like him with top quality players, because I think before this takeover happened, I think quite a lot of people were sort of hinting at the question of, you know, how long is it before he actually goes to a big club because he is that good. So I think if he gets the sort of promises and he buys into the sort of project going on at Newcastle, and he's willing to, you know, tough it out, give it these next couple of years, toughen it out, making that journey up, I think he could be make a real lasting impact on a Newcastle side that goes on to win everything there is to win.
Billy, any players on that side you think can last the regime, the new regime?
I'm just going to sound very boring and have to agree with you both.
Oh, Billy. Fucking hell, mate.
You could make an argument. you could make an argument for Callum Wilson. I mean, he's a goal scorer, and if you can keep him fit, then he will score goals if you can provide him with the chances, which you could argue is Newcastle's main problem at the minute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, outside of that, I think maybe Dubravka or Darlow in goal. I think
keepers. Relatively solid keepers, aren't they? They're not really necessarily the problem at Newcastle.
Throw in a Sean Longstaff there. Be controversial.
Both of the Longstaffs. You know, both of them.
Shabby in the midfield.
The defence of midfield is just woeful.
You don't see a John Joe Shelby, you know, parked right next to you, you know, parked or just Pedro. Behind a Coutinho.
believe it or not, mate, no, I can't see that happening.
All right, okay. One other player that kind of crossed into the realm of maybe being that sort of player, but I am convinced, I'm not convinced at the same time. I'm very much on the fence with this player. That's Miguel Almiron. His involvement in the goal against Man United, when Newcastle played them at Old Trafford, I think, was spectacular. And you always see minutes and, you know, moments from Miguel Almiron that make you think, well, this boy is good. He's got something. He's got something that can... And he lit up the MLS, and he was by far and away the best player in the MLS. And obviously it's a different league, a completely different standard. But does he have that? Does he still have that skill ceiling that, you know, if you do put him in a top side, does he maybe take his game? So some players are like that. They just take their game to a next level when they enter a top side, and they can't do it at a side where they're not surrounded by quality players, you know?
Potentially. I think he's got a lot of skill to his game. I think one of his main problems is just how weak he is on the ball. I think it's very easy to push him off the ball. But yeah, like you say, we see glimpses of that bit of magic that we all kind of know that he's got. I think he's just very inconsistent, but you could also blame that on the fact that Newcastle needing him to do something week in, week out, especially if the likes of St. Maximin and Callum Wilson are injured. So whether he's maybe got too much pressure on his shoulders in games like that, and then maybe once they come back, they take the pressure off him a little bit. I don't know. It's certainly going to be an interesting one, to say the least.
He's the one that I'm on the fence about, and I think it possibly could. I think that's very much down to him, you know? Mm. If you had a new manager then that can maybe play a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, and you plant sort of, you know, St. Maximin through the middle as he is, you know, you could put a Wilfried Zaha and a Miguel Almiron between St. Maximin, yeah. Even though I think St. Maximin naturally prefers to be a wider player. He's kind of been forced into that central striker role in the absence of Callum Wilson, but I actually think he should stay there because I think he's been tremendous through the middle, and that's maybe where I can see his future. But yeah, I think... How many additions do you think that Newcastle make? We'll finish up on this question, boys, and just answer for me quickly. How many additions do you see Newcastle making in January? I'll start with you, Billy. How many players do you see coming in January?
January is always hard for transfers. It's very hit and miss as to whether they actually pay off, if you like, as if they become vital, crucial players for the team. Obviously, everyone who Newcastle do transfer, I think, will be a vital player for the team.
To stay up this season, at least.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I think they're going to push for 4 or 5, I think. The rumours going around are saying that they've got, what, 200 million, I think it is?
For January.
To spend in January. Yeah, for January alone. I can see them getting four or five big name players.
Players that can step into the first team.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the majority of them will probably be in defence and midfield.
I think if they were for relegation, that's where they think. I mean, I think it's not, they need to add to the squad because they can't, I don't think they can stay up with the squad they've got. Especially at St. Maximin, if he gets injured, then that's, and him and Wilson are missing, I think they're down. But obviously that's not going to happen now because they are going to spend an atrocious amount of money in January. Adam, how many additions do you think we'll see to this Newcastle side in January?
I think just because it's January and how hard deals are to get done, and I think especially with people knowing those type of money Newcastle have got, they're going to try and take the piss with the wages things like that. And
The prices go up 40-50%, don't they, at least?
So I think I don't actually think they'll bring in too many, maybe two or three maybe, that will ensure that they stay out of relegation. And obviously they've got rumoured to have this sort of $200 million for January. I don't think they'll spend that. And that's not me saying I don't think they'll try and spend that. I think they probably will try and spend that. I just don't think 1 month is enough time to get those sorts of deals done to actually even feasibly spend 200 million, unless you're doing it on like two players.
Unless they're very, very lax in their negotiations in terms of they're not trying to give too much pushback. You know, if they are very much of okay, we are here to do a deal, we're not here to rob you, we want to give you a fair price for a player. What is it you expect to get for that player? I think Newcastle will. Yeah, I think we'll see them overpay, and I'm going to be solid between you. But I think we'll see four players come in. I think we'll see probably one sort of rotational player, and then three that go right into that first team. And I think that would be enough to keep them up. you know, and I think they'll be sort of like down the spine players. So I think you could probably see like, you know, either two central defenders, and because I don't think they're strong enough in central defence. Yeah. And I think they could maybe see another midfielder to come in as well. Mm-hmm. Although it'll probably be 11 players. It'll probably be 11 players that come in, and it'll just be a full just slate white, you know.
As long as they don't try
11
and,
in, 11 out.
Nah, Joe Lennon, as long as moved they don't to Sunderland rob Salah for £200,000. Well, Joe Linton is just released with Steve Bruce. They're just both paid off. That would be fucking brilliant. Righty-o, boys. What a show. Thank you very much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for the listeners for tuning in. Sorry we didn't give you your Prem preview. No one likes a Prem preview anyway. That's why we stopped doing it.
Liverpool will win. Man United to lose.
Yeah. Everton West Ham looks a decent game. You should probably watch that. You should probably watch Chelsea Brentford as well. See if Brentford can do over another one of the so-called top six. But yeah, I think we're all just happy to have Premier League football back after a fairly dross international period.
One more quick thing to add on Newcastle. As long as they don't try and sign Mohamed Salah, I don't care. Well, they can do what they want.
What a solemn tone for us Liverpool fans. And I think we'll leave it there, folks. Thank you very much again for joining us. Until next time, cheerio, bye.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.